SoundingTheAlarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, Sounding the Alarm, October 15, 2010. I want to welcome you to this broadcast. Today I'm going to share some things from my heart, from the scriptures. And the latter part of this message will have a recording on the snares that so many people are literally unaware of the traps that are being set for them all around them. It's very, very important that the people acknowledge this day, how serious it is, that God has called people to walk circumspectly, which means to be aware of what's on the horizon and to live and act and walk in life accordingly. A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the fool moves on and is punished. And God hasn't called any one of us to be foolish. We were created in the image and likeness of God, and God gives wisdom to everyone that asks him liberally and does not withhold. But we're to ask in faith, nothing wavering, lest we be like the sea that's tossed to and fro. And a person that's wavering like the sea, tossed to and fro, is likened to be a person with a double soul, a double life, a double man. And that man will not receive anything from the Lord. So I want to share this with you tonight about what's taking place. I've been sounding the alarm now publicly since February of 2006. And I have a website called SoundingTheAlarm.com where I have chronicled the things that I used to write a lot. And I used to share the things that God was giving me, the things that I would see and hear in the Lord, what are very Bible basic. Because I've wanted to tell the people what was coming, what the Lord had showed me was coming, to warn them, to prepare them, that they should seek God's face, to hear his voice, and to prepare for these unprecedented days and unprecedented events such as never were seen since the beginning of the world, nor ever shall be. These are the things that have been outlined by Jesus Christ, the Lord. These are the things that were spoken by the apostles, those that knew Jesus, and the prophets, and even the prophets of old in the Old Testament. But the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, is a living, living book. God has had this book be penned by holy men of God, prophets, apostles, that were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. And these things are written for our admonition, for our warning, that we should learn from the erring ways of others that have preceded us, that we would know what God's intent is. And the things that are coming are outlined for us so that when they come to pass, we would remember that Jesus had told us of them and find comfort, that we would believe in a day of great upheaval, great day of darkness and oppression and tyranny and fear and anxiety and sickness. Things that people have put their trust in are going to be literally shattered. And this is why our faith has to be in the Lord. And let's go to the basics. That God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. But God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So believe on Jesus. He is the sin sacrifice for the world. He was without sin. And he was a perfect servant, perfect, yielding to his Father, speaking the words that he had been taught by the Father and that he'd heard from the Father. And he laid down his life, ladies and gentlemen. He is the King. He's not only the King of the Jews, but he is the King of an everlasting kingdom, which will have no end. And this is our hope, because the things of this world are coming to an end. It's winding up. And I'm hoping you see that. If you do not see it, I want to encourage you to ask the Lord, because he can cause you to see. He can cause you to understand. And he can give you the instructions on what to do, because you want to be at the right place at the right time with the Lord. You know, there's a couple more things I want to share with you. And one of those is the purpose of affliction or the place of affliction in the life of a believer. In other words, you've given your life to Jesus Christ. You've completely surrendered. You believe that he died for your sins. You've been buried with him and by baptism, and that you've risen from the dead as when Jesus Christ came out of the tomb by the Spirit of God, by the glory of the Father. Even so, now you walk in a new life, that God's washing you and regenerating you, changing you. It's not about religion. It's a literal relationship. God is the potter. You're the clay, and he's molding you into the image of his dear son. That's God's intent for you. That's in the scriptures. You've given your life to the Lord, and you know now that you are in the last days, and God has called you to be a witness for him, that you will have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And you won't be a perjurer saying that Jesus is your Lord, that he died for your sins, but you literally have been made free by the Lord himself. Well, God takes us through a furnace of affliction, ladies and gentlemen. He does. He takes us, he tries our faith as by fire. And we're not to think it's a strange thing when we're tried. This is the way the apostles and the prophets of old have gone through. This is the way the people of God go through hardship, because it makes you strong. Adversity makes you bear fruit, because you put your roots deep and you draw on the waters of God, of the living fountain of God, and you draw on him and you draw on his strength, because when you're made weak, that's how his strength is perfected. There's a real need to discuss this, because Jesus pointed out that many people would give up their faith. When the word of God was preached to them, they rejoiced in it, but it was very shallow in their heart. And when the days of persecution and affliction came, they would give up. That's in Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew 24, verse 10, in speaking about the end days, Jesus said specifically that after the persecution, many would be offended, and they would turn and betray their brethren. And you don't want to be doing that, but you want to be prepared for an atmosphere in the last days when people will be giving up their faith because of the affliction and because of radical persecution for the name of Jesus Christ. In the first century, Apostle Paul was talking about troubles and tribulations. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." See, ladies and gentlemen, we have to have the right perspective on things, that this age is passing away. The things, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all these things are of the world, and they'll pass away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. So God's molding you. He's changing you. He's transforming you. But you are to hold fast through the days of trouble. I really see that in the pseudo-religious world today, you know, the popular forms of Christianity, people think that spirituality is like a pyramid, that when you achieve maturity in Christ, or you achieve development and maturity, you're like at the top of the pyramid, where there's no sickness, you have all the money in the world, and there's no problems. But that's a lie. That's not the truth. I'm finding comfort in the scriptures myself. In James 5, verse 10, and James 5, 11. I want to read this to you, because I've gone through hardship. Hardship that I won't even explain. But God's been faithful, and he's going to be continually faithful as I trust in him. Now let's take a look at James, chapter 5, verse 10 and following. "Take my brethren, the prophets, who've spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. But we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Servants of the Lord spoke in the name of the Lord, spoke the word of God. They're going to go through affliction as an example, and they're going to have to endure. And the same thing with Job. Job was a righteous man. Satan found nothing in him, but the Lord did a marvelous work in his life, didn't he? That's what God's going to do in our life. So don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise the process of the Lord, because God's working something awesome in you that is eternal. I came across Ezekiel 33 today, and the latter part of the text really spoke to me as I saw something that I've perceived. And, you know, I've been on the radio, I've been on the internet, shortwave radio, for over the last 4.5 years from different modes. And I really noticed that there's people, a lot of people that listen to programming of this type, but very few people really walk with the Lord. And it's very perplexing, because we're not to be hearers only, but we need to be doers of the word. And I've really been aware, and I've spoken of this publicly, how it's like there's different types of music. There's Western, and there's jazz, and there's pop jazz, or whatever type of music you want. People listen even to the prophetic, and they listen to this type of programming and that type of programming, and they even know about the things that are coming to pass in our world today and fulfilling the scriptures. But are they seeking the Lord? Are they preparing for the second coming of Christ? Are they doing what he wants them to be doing? Or are they just watching the judgments take place? That's not what we want to do. Now I want to read to you from Ezekiel chapter 33. This is the chapter where we get the principle of the watchman that watches. And when they see the sword of judgment coming, they warn the people. The latter part, verse 28. For I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Lord, when I have laid the land most desolate, because of all their abominations which they have committed. Also thou, son of man, the children of your people still are talking against you by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that comes forth from the Lord. And they come unto you as the people comes, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their covetousness. And lo, you are unto them a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well an instrument, for they hear your words, but they will not do them. And when this comes to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet has been among them. Ezekiel 33. Ladies and gentlemen, the sword of the judgment is in the land. Over the country, secular, and those that have professed faith in Jesus Christ in this nation, the United States of America. And God is judging the other nations as well. This age is winding up. And this is the time you want to repent before the Lord. Forsake your evil ways. Call upon the Lord while he's near. Draw near to him, and he will wash you. He will cleanse you. He will deliver you. And he will take you through these times of trial. He's faithful. He will keep you. You want to dwell in the secret place of the Almighty. Dwell under the shadow of his wings. And the pestilence will not come nigh you. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. Have a clear conscience before the Lord. And I pray you pray about these things, and I want you to listen to this message that's coming. It's about the snares. The people, for the most part, are unaware of the snares, and Jesus said, as a snare shall it come upon all of them on the face of the whole earth, these things that are coming. Can you see the idols being judged in this nation, and God will thoroughly confound one by one.